from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
I'm a true champion.
Go blue is the mantra.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Michigan, the men's basketball champion.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Michigan head coach Dusty May. ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, UCLA head coach Corey Close. Actor Emmanuel Shrieky. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and I have some breaking news. I just read during the commercial break that One Shining Moment's lyrics were written by an Ann Arbor resident, and it first played during the 1989 Michigan's basketball tournament win. I now love the song.
You can't do that.
I totally reversed course. I had no idea. What?
You've already stated your disdain for it.
You do not get to join our team now.
Yes, I can.
As One Shining Moment truthers.
We're all. I enter the portal.
Wow.
On this,
that is no. I am not allowing that.
I'm entering the portal.
No chance.
No. Come on, man.
You're on that side.
I have no idea. It's written by a guy from Ann Arbor. And the first time they actually used it was in '89 when Michigan last won it all on the men's side of things.
Which you wouldn't know because you were putting the school newspaper together, so you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You were hard working.
I didn't know that. No, I love the song.
No.
And Luther Vandross sings it?
Stop it.
That was the worst part about it. How are you going to disrespect Luther like that?
All right. Let's all come together as one. All right.
You.
Certainly since the coach of the team that came together on behalf of those in Westwood, California, wanting to see a trophy for the UCLA women's basketball team. Ladies and
there
gentlemen, Corey Close is here after cutting down the nets in Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, coach? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. My alma mater's men's team won it all, you know, so.
I texted you that last night. I said, you're a happy guy today. And what did you say?
Last 2 days. Because you made me happy too. My whole household. Susie, my daughter Taylor, my boys, because honestly, the way you go about your business and the way that your team plays, I mean, things took off the minute you hit the Final Four in a way like you found a new gear, it looked like, a whole different level. I'm wondering if you felt the same way.
Yeah, you are exactly right. I thought it was really important. We've not been challenged that much this year. And I thought actually the real pivotal piece was how we came out and went down in our Elite Eight game versus Duke. And it was like, okay, y'all, we got to fight for this. We got to claw. We got to decide who we're going to be, and we got to go make this thing happen. And I really saw a different team from the halftime of that Elite Eight game all the way through the Final Four, culminating the morning of the national championship game. I got our entire team. And when I say team, I mean our support staff, our managers, our scout guys together in this massive circle. And I talked about that the superpower of our team was really our connectivity and our mission mindedness, and that three strands woven together just cannot easily be broken, and how important it was for us to see ourselves as this interdependent, interwoven group. And I could just see in their eyes, Rich, that I turned to my director of basketball operations after that and just said, we're going to win this thing. They were just dialed in, and they had found that other gear that you're referring to.
No doubt about it. And then you avenge your only loss of the season against Texas on Friday night. What was that like Friday night into Sunday for you and your staff and your team? What was that like?
Well, it was a huge, you could tell it was just a breakthrough mentally. I think, you know, can we, you know, we in our minds all year, we're like, we can do this. We have the roster, we have the chemistry, we have the skill set to make this happen. But we had to overcome a hard thing, and we had to overcome an opponent that was probably playing the best basketball going into the Final Four, was Texas. And I was so proud at how tough we were in that game. I wasn't very proud that we turned the ball over 23 times, but I was really proud. I mean, it was a rugby match, and I thought that we just stayed the course. Actually, our team, I think, was a little more level about it than I was. I was just like, you know, we got to be able to go from point A to point B here. And they just did such a good job of going, hey, this is what it takes. This is what the game is telling us is required. And we're going to find a way to be the tougher, more together team. But that was a big deal. That was a big hurdle for us. But I really knew we were ready to go win it, because I went into the locker room after the game, and it was like any other game. It was like, job's not done. What are we even talking about? Let's go. We came here very strictly on a business trip. We know what the mission is, and when's the next film session to prep for the next game? Well, and that's where they were.
Yeah, and just seeing your players, mm-hmm. and just how loose they were. Mm-hmm. You know, how present they are.
Yeah.
Right. That after Lauren Betts was done with her post game interview on the live broadcast after the Texas win, she turned to her teammates and she goes, "We're playing in the national championship game." She might have also had a word in there that I picked up. You know, earmuffs for Taylor, but nothing she hasn't heard at home. But but in all seriousness, though, and seeing that, and then seeing your team kind of dancing while also going through the workouts on Saturday, I texted the group here and everyone, like, you know, UCLA by 100, which you almost pulled off. But, you know, I'm wondering where that comes from, Coach.
Yeah, you know, I think it comes, Rich, from genuine relationships, because you have to know what the vibe needs to be. Some people's, I would call it their warrior dial. Some of their warrior dials need to be turned up. And we're always telling Lena Billett, she needs to play mad. She needs to play like, let's go, you know. But some of our players needs to turn down. And part of that is just dance it out. Like, have fun. This has got to have joy. This has got to have a lightness, because they're already putting so much pressure on themselves. And so I think you have to know your team and know, you know, how each individual is at their best, and trust that though it may look different in style, player by player, the standard doesn't change about what's expected to be able to come out and perform. And, you know, they have a great balance of that. And I think we realized early on the expectations that we're going to follow this team. And last year, I don't think I handled it as well as I needed to as a leader. And they, you know, I don't think we, bottom line, my biggest job is to get our team to play its best basketball when needed and at the highest levels. And we got spanked in the semifinals last year. And so I needed to go, okay, what needs to change? And I do think the way we handled having the target on our back, we actually needed more joy and lightness, not more intensity, because the intensity was there. And so I just think that was fun. And in the in between practice on Saturday, I actually had no idea how to handle it. I was like, what do I do? And I asked Holly Rowe, like, you've seen a million of these, how do coaches handle it? Or I called Muffet McGraw at Notre Dame, who'd been there. And I was like, okay, how does this work? You know? And so we just decided that open practice was going to be our connecting fun practice. And then we were going to have a closed practice after that was going to be about our business. And they handled that with great maturity, and it paid off.
Corey Close, champion head coach from UCLA, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about some of your players, if you don't mind. Lauren Betts, the most outstanding player of the Final Four in the tournament, and her story. Holly Rowe, you mentioned, made reference to it when she was on the podium with you and the rest of the team. And her Players Tribune piece that was published in March was raw and really was out there. What are you willing to share about when she checked herself into UCLA care at the hospital there based on her depression moving from Stanford to UCLA, and you had her in your care and this was happening. What can you share with us here, Corey?
Yeah, you know, as much as I am proud of our staff, what we accomplished as a national champion and all those things, I'm actually more proud of how we show up for our players on the hard days. I have a group of staff. It's not just me. It's every single person in our program that has chosen to sacrificially adopt the mission of our program, which really has more to do with who they're becoming as people than it does about who they're becoming as basketball players. And that was one of my proudest moments, as a coach, to see our entire program just come alongside Lauren in such a genuine way in her toughest moments. I remember my dad used to say that the greatest honor is when someone else invites you into their greatest time of need. And it's my honor to come alongside her. But I also have to give Lauren her props. When she played for me and when the USA basketball under U19 World Cup team, mm-hmm. she was actually on her way to Stanford. And on that trip, when I was the head coach of that World Cup team, my father passed away. And when we were in Spain, and I'm telling you, she is so empathic, and Lauren gave more to me than I did to her. And so then, you know, fast forward 2 years later to be in that room with her, I mean, it's scary. Izzy Anstey was on that team and was probably Lauren's closest friend. And this gets me choked up when there's a picture that she flew across the world from Australia to be there. And at that moment, and that day was Izzy Anstey. That was, she goes, that was maybe one of the hardest days of my life. I thought I was going to lose Lauren. And then Cam Brown has also had her own mental health struggle that she has really invested in Lauren and shared her journey with Lauren. And there's this picture after the national championship game where they all three of their foreheads are together and they're just, their arms are clenched so tight. And the layers of that bond was about showing up for each other on the hard days and on the things that really matter most. And as proud as I am about the championship, I'm even more proud of that.
It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. Wow. And then, you know, Gabriela Jaquez, whose brother, okay, did what he did for the men's side of things. And she is as decorated as they come now in the history of the whole program. And just seeing her do everything. I mean, absolutely everything. Running the floor, blocking shots, getting on the floor, shooting threes, setting screens. I'll give you the floor on her development and how, you know, she wanted to go nowhere else. She wanted you to offer her more than anything in the world, and you did. And boy, now you got a banner.
I looked like an idiot, Rich. Like, it took me. She had one other Power Four offer going into her senior year of high school. Like, it's just craziness,
right?
And it's so interesting. Her AAU coach, Kelly Sopak, who's now the head coach at University of Nevada, he told a great story when she joined his club program, his AAU team, the Cal Stars. He said to somebody, "You know what? If I was having, just a 3-point." shooting contest, I had to pick my players. I bet, you know, of 10 people, I would pick Gabriela Jaquez last. But if you had a one shot to one 3-pointer to win the game, even at that point, I would choose Gabriela Jaquez first. And I thought that encapsulates her warrior spirit, her confidence. She knows how to show up in the most pressurized moments. When you look back at our postseason runs from her freshman year to her senior year, the biggest games, the most pressurized games, when they're most on the line, the most consistent player was Gabriela Jaquez. And I think it just shows her mentality. She's just got this warrior spirit. And I think she can be an inspiration to so many people that it doesn't have to look like everybody else. Like, Gabs's game doesn't look like most other people, and she's going to be a top 10 draft pick. And so, I think that If you're a kid growing up and you're looking for role models, like, she has been a self-made person. I mean, she has found her own niche of how to impact the game. And her plus minus has been our leading plus minus person all year long in terms of her offensive and defensive leverage of when she's on the floor. And so I just think, you know, if you can have a warrior spirit and if you can intentionally build your growth, I mean, she shot in the teens in the three-pointers her freshman year, and she made herself a 50-40-90 player. That's just unheard of. That just does not happen. And if you're someone willing to put in the work and compete fiercely but with joy in your heart like Gabriela Jaquez, anything is possible.
Yeah. You may hear your program called three times in the top 10 a week from tonight at the WNBA draft. You may have three top 10 picks, and I think you will. Corey.
I think we'll have four.
Okay. I guess over-deliver.
Don't sell us short. Come on now. I think all six are going to be drafted and at least four in the first round.
There you go. Before I let you go, let's talk about you a little bit, if you don't mind. You were here last year for two shows. You were the first guest of Women's Sports Now last year. There's season two information coming up very, very shortly. So be on the lookout for that text and invitation from Susie and the rest of us here coming up. But then you sat here on in my guest chair, told an incredible story about meeting John Wooden, about being there and being alongside him. There you guys are, and your relationship with the Wizard. And, you know, I'm getting choked up, so I know how you're going to feel about this. You're going to be able to coach in that vaunted pavilion and look up, and one of your banners is going to be next to all of his. What's that moment going to be like for you, do you think?
It's a mix, and I am getting choked up. It's a mix, Rich, because, on the one hand, I could care less. Like, you know, I walk down the hallway of the men's side because of where our bench is in Pauley Pavilion before every game.
Yep.
And I sort of touch each banner, but it isn't about achieving the banner. It's about the flood of memories, lessons, shared experiences, principled centered leadership that Coach Wooden taught me, and the time he spent. And so so it's this amazing bond. So to even have one of those to be next to him is like this, it's like this pay it forward kind of moment to say, I listened, you know, and I don't know. It doesn't always transpire with banners. It just doesn't. But I think the big thing that's most meaningful in that way is that I can say, I listened and you did that. Thank you. Just maybe just be able to say thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, his great granddaughter Corey sent me a picture yesterday, and she and her daughter wore all their UCLA gear to school that day on Monday because they were proud. And I just was like, that's what it's all about. And his son Jim texts me after the game, and you know, I'm just really grateful for all of those things. And then on the other side of this coin, and sorry to be long winded.
No,
in the sand,
go for it, please.
But, and I said this on the Scott Van Pelt show, but I really mean it, is that banners really do just hang in gyms. Rings really do just collect dust. And the only two things that get to stay with you for the rest of your life from these 4 years is who you become and who you impact. And in the end, I know that Coach Wooden would also only care about that. And he used to always tell me, who cares about the 4 years that they're with you? It's what they do in the next 40 years that you're responsible for. And that's really what it's all about.
That is so cool. Wow. For sure.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. And couldn't be happier for you. Because all of us here on this show, and as I mentioned, Women's Sports Now, to use the Wizard phrase, got to pull back the curtain and see who you are as a person. You are as genuine as they come, and you're all about it. You're all about making sure that the next generation of girls, I see it with my daughter and the way that you've interacted with her in the short periods of time that you've, you know, we've been lucky to have her around you. You're really all about it. I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you, Rich. But you know, my biggest moment is that I got to teach your wife what a slob was, line out of bounds, and that she wants to put that out of bounds play in.
Yes.
for Taylor's team. So, hey, that's my mountaintop moment right there.
Well,
there you go.
On behalf of my two boys and yours truly, who are called slobs at home because we leave everything on the floor, we appreciate you giving Susie a different way to use that word. On behalf of my daughter and their hopefully championship basketball team like yours. So thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate
that. Thank you so much.
Can't wait to see you in person. Can't wait to see you in person. Go hit that portal and go keep it going. Thanks again, Coach.
All right. Thanks so much. Thank you, everybody.
That's Corey Close, champion head coach of UCLA basketball, putting a trophy in the case.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's what's happening. All right. That was cool.
That was awesome, man. I remember she came in here last year, Chris, and remember we were joking with her because she had on those Travis Scotts.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you're stunting, Coach. You just go to any recruit's house wearing those. They're going to sign with you.
That's right.
I wonder if the shoes help.
Maybe they do. Well, isn't that the phrase? It's got to be the shoes.
Got to be the shoes, Rich. Come on.
Was that Mars Blackman? It's got to be the shoes.
Got to be the shoes.
Money. It's got to be
money.
Well, that was awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Isn't it kind of wild that UCLA, that school's synonymous with basketball, right?
Indeed.
First time the women have ever won. That's
they won one.
Before it was.
Correct.
Yeah.
Before it was recognized.
Recognized, yeah.
Correct. That was Ann Myers and that UCLA team. But neat stuff. Cool. All right, let's take a break. The actress Emmanuel Shrieky is in our green room. Time to end that. She's coming on out. We'll talk about her new movie. And, of course, back in the day, a little fun Entourage. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast. In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news, waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Called A Love Like This. Our radio audience just rejoined. We just saw a trailer for it, available now to buy or rent on all digital platforms, starring Emmanuel Shrieky, who's here, Hayes MacArthur as well. Everybody should go check that out. Where'd you come up with the idea for this? Who came up with the idea for this film?
It was a script written by Jeffrey Ruggles, mm-hmm. and it kind of, you know, one of the producers had it and was trying to put it together, and then it made its way to me. John Asher, the director, was attached. I met with John, and I was like, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I would love to do this. And then I attached myself also to be a producer, just because the story, there was something, it was such a gut punch when I read it. I was like, this would be a really interesting and confronting story to tell.
Well, our radio audience just returned, didn't see the trailer. You want to just fill out everyone on what the story is?
It's these high school sweethearts that find themselves in Malibu for a weekend, and we come to see that they've been having an affair for many years. And this is their last weekend together.
Definitely. Oh. Last weekend.
We'll see.
Right.
That's the plan.
Right.
And so then John Asher and I, we were, you know, thinking about the guys, and he had mentioned Hayes MacArthur, and I was just like, yes, it's got to be Hayes. Hayes and I had done Super Troopers 2 together, and we had such a great time. And I just knew, you know, it's a piece that we both had to get really raw and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So there was this feeling of like, who am I going to feel comfortable and safe with to do this? Mm-hmm. And Hayes was a no-brainer, and he just brought such levity to it. It was great.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's shot in Malibu. And it's interesting you say that this is prior to the fires. So people who live here in Southern California can see the town the way it was.
Exactly. That's in all cool. its beauty.
That's cool. Yep. Well, we're sorry that our friend Mike Del Tufo was here the last time you were here, who creeped you out by offering you a flight to Catalina.
I wasn't creeped out.
No, I mean, you're too nice. You're too Canadian. You're too nice. But he's not here today.
You got to send my regards.
How did that go down again, where we just brought that
we
up?
We were talking about first dates or something.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
It was like, you know, what we would all do. And Mike was like, oh, I got it. Helicopter ride to Catalina.
And then you thought it was a great idea.
Sleepover.
It really is an amazing idea.
I don't know. Was that the inspiration of a love like this? You know, Catalina, Malibu.
Oh, my God.
One thing or another.
Right.
But we definitely have to give Mike grief for that he's not here to miss out on that sort of thing.
I'll pass it along.
But you're taken now. I mean, back, I think 10 years ago when you were not here, when you were here last, I think Mike was doing his best.
You can tell Mike I'm going to suggest that idea to my boyfriend.
Okay. There you go. Okay. The helicopter ride. To Catalina. But that was a first date. That wasn't a good idea.
That sounds like one of those movies that takes place in a basement.
Now, hold on a minute. So you guys go, like, you sat at a wedding together? Are you
aware of
that?
We don't go back.
Way back.
I mean, like.
Like, way back.
I've known her through years. She doesn't really.
She's sitting right here, you know.
But we were at a wedding together once. Two of my friends got married, and I sat next to her.
Who I'm seeing in a week.
Oh, yeah?
Both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's TJ at a wedding?
Fantastic.
Really? Then you have no response to that, TJ? No?
I mean, I made people cry. I remember that, giving the speech.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Huh. You don't bring that to this equation here today or ever. You don't make any of us cry here. He's an old softie. Who's the friend that you guys knew?
Mila and Ashton.
Okay. Now I get it.
Here we go.
You won't mention Ashton's name, like, ever. You won't ever mention it. Like, that's the wedding.
Wait, was that taboo?
No.
It's not.
Ashton has been here on this program.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah.
We know that he's, you know, godfather to Bear, correct? Are you not?
To Wyatt.
Pardon me. Bear's the one who you jumped in front of on the WWE broadcast to, like, actually mac his time.
Well, I needed that time, too. Really.
No, but we know they're friends, you know? Like, it shouldn't be, it's not like Fight Club or anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's like pulling
it's
it out.
It's my friends, is what I'm saying.
The wedding of the century. Okay.
It was fun.
It was a fun wedding.
Emmanuel Shrieky here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back in the day on Entourage, what athletes did you come across or meet or have a show with or anything like that that kind of jumps out at you from memory? Were you around on any of those?
Oh my God, 100%. I mean, on the show, there was, of course, when LeBron James came on, and that was insane. In fact, my nephew was, it was his bar mitzvah, and I got LeBron to do a video.
Oh.
I mean, I was aunt of the year.
The year, the lifetime, the century.
Lifetime, yeah.
It's a lifetime achievement award.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So he was so gracious and so cool, and he did it. It was awesome.
So you had him shoot a video.
Like a little video, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just saying, you know, mazel tov.
You have LeBron James saying the words mazel tov on
a video? I think I do, yeah.
That's probably not a first. I'm sure he's been asked to do that many times. It's cool that he was gracious for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So LeBron was there. Brady was on the set at one point.
Yeah, but no? I wasn't there.
You were not there for that. Okay.
Who else during the movie? Oh, I wasn't there for that either. I know. Where was I?
Right.
During the movie, there was Oh my god.
Who is that?
Married to.
This is great. Dinner party game.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yes. Russell Wilson. Sorry, Russell.
So I guess you just got to say married to. And
yeah.
We understand that. We all get that. Did you toast him at his wedding and you just won't mention it either? I just want to find out.
That one I was not.
Okay, very good. Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. You're not at all. Were saying.
But
yes.
Outside, I don't know if you remember this.
Okay.
Outside of Entourage.
Okay.
You know, I did the voice for Call of Duty. I was the numbers lady in one of the Call of Duties.
Oh, I did not know this.
Oh, you didn't know this?
No, okay.
Oh, so this is epic. Okay. This is like the best story.
Please.
And God rest his soul, Kobe Bryant was also in this video game and we met. And he then was like, whenever you want to come to a game, just let me know. You know, switched information.
Sure.
And I would like go sit courtside for the Lakers.
Damn.
Just like that.
were you ever in a a voiceover session like with
no,
or you,
no.
You just did it on your own?
I did it on my own. I had like it was a separate part of the video game.
Do you get recognized with your voice of people saying your Call of Duty? Do you get that recognition or no?
I have like maybe twice.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's for like real video game heads.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the numbers lady. So if you know the video game, she literally just is like 15, 36, 45, 18.
You're the Call of Duty lady. Wait a minute. Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler story that you can tell from working with him?
Oh.
He's the prince of all princes.
He is the prince of all princes. I was, you know, he was so hilarious. I mean, the whole cast was.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say that sort of the thing after all these years that strikes me the most about Adam Sandler is that on the set, as funny as he was, and they're always like fine-tuning the jokes.
Yes.
He was also like very serious about what the shot was going to be. It's like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it was never jokes at the expense of the movie.
Sure.
It was like time and place. And, you know, and he was so cool and human and relaxed and non-movie star-like that it was weird. Because you're like, you're Adam Sandler. You could be the biggest idiot.
Yeah, I know. I met him when I was on ESPN many, many, many moons ago at and he did a piece for ESPN and I helped put it together and I was hosting it a little bit at Yankee Stadium for World Series.
Oh, wow.
And I walked around Yankee Stadium with him and it was like Elvis was in the building. And the number of people that would come up to him, now this is back in the day, so they would say, can you leave my friend a voice message like on their answering machine?
Oh my God.
Or can you record the outgoing message for someone's answer?
Right. Machine?
Can you take this picture? And with real cameras, like not, people weren't just like selfie.
Yeah.
Because everyone had either Blackberries or a pager. That's how long ago it was. He said yes to everybody.
It's unbelievable.
I've never seen his patience and his genuineness. It's the real thing.
It is so real.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so real. I feel so lucky that I had that experience.
Right.
You know? Did you know that speaking of the Zohan?
Yeah.
Just, you know, whenever I come on here, I'm like, what sports things can I bring into this?
All right.
So not.
I appreciate that.
So do you know that I threw out the first pitch?
Two.
Dodgers.
Okay. And?
I don't know who they were playing. Doesn't I can't matter. Remember. And I did really well.
How well?
I got it past the, like, I did it.
You threw a strike? Like, if what it would have been called a strike in an actual Major League Baseball game?
A strike?
Yeah. Like, what is it? Did you throw it accurately?
Yes.
Okay.
I threw it at, but wait, I thought a strike was when you did this and you missed the ball.
Well, that is one way. That is one way, yeah. But if yeah, this, by the way, this is awesome. I'm explaining baseball to Emmanuel Shrieky right now, which is great. It's awesome. It's
Rich, this is what Jane Kaczmarek was like. How is it a no-hitter when they
how do you call something a no-hitter when they actually make contact with the ball?
I got it. June 08, yeah. Cubs-Dodgers.
Yes.
And how are we looking?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't see the, no, you don't
I,
see
I
the pitch?
I just got the information.
Oh, okay.
I'm seeing the pictures, but no. Well,
it was cool.
Here's how I know.
Yeah, you celebrating after.
Here's how I know you did well.
Yeah.
Is that it's not, you're not YouTube famous for the alternative.
Right.
That's bad. Yeah. It would be everywhere.
That's the 1,000,000% heart thumping pressure one feels when standing on the mound of Dodger Stadium.
100%.
Okay.
And you know, it's funny. I think on the internet, there's probably a picture of me that's like,
hands up. I scored a touchdown.
Why not? Do you need to be explain to you what a touchdown is?
No, I didn't. But thanks.
Canada has been involved in some of these major hockey and all this, you know, the Olympics and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you locked in on any of that stuff or not really?
I watched the Olympics.
Okay.
Actually, all of the Olympics.
Okay, great.
But, you know, I was really zeroed in on the figure skating and skiing and
snowboarding. I do love watching the Olympics and everything like that. The only thing I didn't understand is when they gave out the silver medals in the Olympics, they also gave out a stuffed animal to the athletes as well. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yes. I don't know who came up with that idea. Nope. Some Italian, I don't know what it was, or somebody in the International Olympic Committee. There it is. This is one of Canada's most decorated hockey players ever after losing to the United States in the gold medal game.
Oh.
With his silver medal, looking at his stuffed animal.
See? I mean, wow. That's hilarious.
It's like if you're nominated for an Emmy and you didn't win, but here's a stuffed animal. There you go. What a delight to have you back on this program and chat with you.
It's so great to see you. Thank you.
And see you after all these years. Your film that you've produced, you act in as well with Hayes MacArthur, A Love Like This, is available now to buy or rent on all digital platforms. I do believe we have one more photograph to show you here, because, you know, we've got a lightning quick acting. It's outstanding form.
Okay.
That's outstanding.
I'm watching the pitch right now.
I mean, that is.
We found it. Nice.
To quote Bob Uecker,
it's a little bit outside.
It's a little bit outside.
When I, oh, what? You know?
Yes. When I, no, no, it doesn't matter.
It wasn't bad.
I did it once myself.
Yeah.
It was nerve wracking.
Oh, my God.
Beyond nerve wracking.
Yes.
And unlike you, I think people were rooting against me.
Oh, how could anybody root against you?
I'd love for you for saying that.
Well, they go to Ohio State.
There are some people who are just like, I want to see him dirted. I want to see him, you know. And I would have, I think, fooled a left-handed hitter with my slow stuff. But a right-handed hitter, I would have hit with the baseball. That's how it was not great. It was not great. So.
Well, apparently mine wasn't either.
Oh, no, it's TJ.
It was.
Let me ask you again. How was her first pitch?
It was like watching Nolan Ryan.
There you go. There you go.
You can't lie.
Okay.
You can't lie.
Very good. Great to see you.
Great to see you.
Come on back anytime.
Thank you.
Emmanuel Shrieky right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We've got breaking news involving the NFL draft. That's coming up. This is our program.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here. I've traveled all over for some of the biggest NFL moments you can imagine. Conference championships, Super Bowls, draft weekends, and everywhere I go, the city just feels different. It's buzzing, packed, electric. Now, take that energy and multiply it by the entire world. That's what's coming this summer with the FIFA World Cup. Fans from every corner of the globe are going to be traveling to experience it live. And when that many people come to town, they're all looking for a place to stay. And that got me thinking. If you live in or near a host city, this is one of those rare moments. You already have a space. This summer, you could list your space on Airbnb while fans are in town for the FIFA World Cup, not as a full-time thing, not as some huge lifestyle change, just during an event when demand is naturally high. When I travel for big games, I just want a comfortable place in a real neighborhood, and that's exactly what so many visiting fans will be looking for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, in a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with an up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range. How about that? Select trims, advanced tech, class-leading interior space, because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters, and so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. All right, so some quick hitters here. Adam Schefter was the first to report that Fernando Mendoza has told the NFL draft he's not going to be there. He's going to stay at home to be with his family in Miami. Okay, not great for the draft.
Yeah, not great.
It's not great for the draft, not great for the broadcast.
But, you know, his mother has MS.
Dude.
It might not be safer.
Dude, it is 100% his decision and in his purview, and 1 million percent fine. You know?
We'd love to have him.
Of course. It makes things more special, but what's more special than being with his family and accommodating his mom, if that's what it is, or the rest of his family by being there?
Yep.
And it could be just like, hey, NFL's like, how many do you need? Yep. And his answer could be 150?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this happens all the time. It just doesn't really happen too often with the first overall draft choice.
Right. Right.
But we'll see video of him and in his home,
and he'll be in his new home the next day, I'm sure, wherever, whoever.
Last number one overall pick to not attend the draft, Trevor Lawrence, 2021.
How's that worked out for him?
Yeah.
Okay. I shouldn't ask that question. But he's an upstanding pillar of community
of
and a great face of the Jaguars, if
playoff
not the NFL.
QB.
True.
Okay. It's all good. Like, if this what makes him happy and his family happy, and
plenty of guys will be at the
enjoy the moment. Yeah. And I do believe there's a direct flight from Miami to Las Vegas.
I believe that's true.
Yes, I believe it's a
private aviation.
I think
goes everywhere.
I don't know. One guy famously flew from
FBO?
One guy famously had to fly from Vegas to Washington D.C. and then drive to Baltimore.
Oh yeah, that's true. That did not go over well.
I didn't understand that. That might be the most bizarre part of the entire Max Crosby story, is that he flew commercial to Washington, D.C. and drove up to Baltimore.
Yeah, because that's like an hour plus
two.
Drive.
I think he said it was two.
How is it? I don't know.
It's weird. BWIs.
At any rate.
And didn't he have bad knees, too? So you're going to crunch him up in commercial and then put him in a white van with no windows?
Not everybody has your problems.
In a bed situation, I'm sure.
Listen, Mr. Seat 1A up here.
Ah. I don't like sitting in seat 1A.
You like 1B?
It's a bulkhead problem.
Bulkhead, not great.
I don't need bulkheads.
Nah, I don't need bulkheads.
But at any rate, that's my favorite part of this coverage of Fernando Mendoza saying he's not going to the draft. Speaking of Baltimore, their former head coach, John Harbaugh, has got a holdout on his hands.
What?
Dexter Lawrence. Yeah, sexy Dexy, right in the middle of that defensive line. Makes it all go for the Giants. Says he's not showing up. Doesn't want to play for the Giants anymore. His contract's not to his liking. So he's not at the first opportunity to be with his teammates because the rest of the league is going to start up with their OTAs, their April OTAs, pre-draft OTAs next couple of weeks. But the teams with new head coaches have the opportunity to start it this week. John Harbaugh speaking about the Dexter Lawrence, as we always say in the media parlance, situation. Hit it.
Well, I don't know if granting a request is really the right way to say it because it doesn't really work that way. You know, it's not like a Christmas gift. You know, it just doesn't work like that. It's business, you know. So the business is to be the best football team that we can be, and the business for him, I'm sure, is to be the best player he can be. And then there's financial obligations, restraints, opportunities, all those things that go around that because it's pro football. I guess there is in college football now, too. It's just it's different a little bit in the way it works through the contracts in this league. So that's really what it boils down to. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I also got another. He also says that I'm not surprised by it. We'll try and work through it about the possibility of him returning to the Giants. I think the prospects are high. We want Dexter here, and I believe Dexter wants. Oh, we have that, too? Oh, my bad. Okay, get it. Yeah.
I think the prospects are going to be high because the Giants, speaking for the Giants, we want Dexter here, and I believe Dexter wants to be here. You know, that's a good formula, but there's business involved. It's a business proposition. We know it's pro football, and these things happen every year, pretty much on every team. So, not surprised by it. Saw it coming a few weeks back, probably, and good conversations with Dexter's agent Joel Siegel, and understood what they were thinking, and this is where we're at. So we'll just try to work through it and see where we can get done.
Okay. John's been through this.
Yep.
He's probably like, you know, if you do what were they really thinking, but don't have to hit the drop, it'd be just like, did you see that one time I sat down at the NFL owners meeting just at the moment Lamar Jackson hit send on a tweet saying he never wants to play for the Baltimore Ravens again. Him with his buddy and the shake weights and all that stuff that was going on.
The shake weight guy.
Did you see the memo?
You know what I mean? Like, did you, you know, I dealt with that. You know, who's still, you know, got paid and is still the quarterback there? So I've been around. Jeff in Detroit. Got to speak with him on a day like today. Jeff, I got about 30 seconds. What's going on, Jeffrey?
Sup, G?
It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. Listen, that game had me as nervous as a cat swimming through a Florida swamp with pork chop drawers on.
Wow.
But I am so happy. 37 years, we can finally put it to rest. That was the best Michigan team ever. The defense is what won the game. And, I mean, in a game like that, grinding it out, and it looked like they were getting ready to pull a UConn that they did to Duke on us. It looked like they were coming back, rolling downhill, couldn't get the ball in. And finally, those guys clamped down and did their thing. Man, it is bedlam here. Everybody is so happy rocking the Michigan gear, Unc. And, we did that.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you for chiming in, giving us a little bit of what's going on there in Detroit. Go Blue to all of my fellow Wolverines out there. It is a great day to be a Michigan Wolverine. Can confirm.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.